And I hope that you've come with that prayer this evening, that the Lord will open your eyes and open your heart, your ears, that you might see him through his word this evening. We're going to be in the 100th Psalm as we close out this year, the 100th Psalm for the preaching, teaching of God's word. From previous experience, having asked, I think a couple of different times over my 5.5 years now here in Rocky Mount, I know from experience that many of you do not do anything with New Year's resolutions, so I'm not going to ask that question this evening. But even if you don't do anything as far as New Year's resolutions, maybe you don't sit down and make up a list of goals or aspirations or wishful thinking for the coming year. I would trust that you certainly reflect at least on the closing year and the new year that is coming. I don't know what it is about the switching over of the calendar. You're writing a check or writing a date on something and you struggle for the first several weeks to switch from 21 to 22. I don't think you had any trouble switching from 20 to 21. We were all ready for that. But there's something about the switching over of that year on the calendar that causes us to think, to reflect a little bit, to ponder the year that is passing and the year that is beginning. As you perhaps already have done some reflection, and if you've not, do so. Are you also thinking about areas of change, growth, maturity that you are desirous to experience in the new year? Are there things about yourself, just individually, personally, that you want to see developed and grown? Are there areas in relationships that you would like to see improved? Are there parts of your walk with the Lord that you would like to grow in? Something that I've been challenged by recently that applies to my reflection on this past year and growth in the coming year is the theme of Psalm 100. In the title of the psalm, you'll notice it's simply called a psalm of praise. I'd ask you to look at these verses in Psalm 100 with me. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. The Bible says in verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." There is so much packed into these five verses of Psalm 100. And as we examine it this evening, I'd like you to see that you can view Psalm 100 through the what lens and the why lens. There are seven whats, seven commands explained by seven whys, seven reasons for these commands. Seven commands with seven corresponding reasons for them. The commands are various ways of expressing praise. We have, make a joyful noise, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing, and so on. Almost completely, all seven commands express some form of praising God. And the reasons are various recognitions of who God is and what he does. And so we have seven what's, seven commands, with seven whys, seven corresponding reasons, all focused around the theme of praising God. Why? Because of who God is and what he does. Think about the whys. As we read through Psalm 100, we find that the Lord is God. He made us. And beyond that, we did not make ourselves. We are his. We are the sheep of his pasture. And that implies that he cares for us, that he provides for us, and he watches over us. It goes on and speaks to us about the reality that he is good. He is unfailing in goodness. His mercy is everlasting. He is unfailing in kindness and love. There in verse number 5, where it says his mercy is everlasting, it's such an interesting bit of language that's used there. This word everlasting comes from an original word that literally identifies a vanishing point. And so think of it in this sense. As far back as you can look, even in your own life personally, as far in the past as you can remember, what happens the further back you go in your memory in the past? It gets more and more blurry and clouded, doesn't it? To the point that you can't remember anything else. You look forward into the future. And there are times, in a sense, that we can see our future clearly. You can see the next few minutes clearly, at least in your human reasoning and thinking. But you look as far as you can into the future, and it becomes more cloudy, more blurry, even as far as your human understanding is concerned, to the point that you can't see anything into the future. You look back as far as you can. You look as far forward as you can, and guess what you'll find? God's mercy is still there, and it's unfailing. His truth endures. He's unfailing both in his nature and faithfulness. And so we have the seven whys, these seven corresponding reasons to the seven commands that all express praise. And think about this. What the psalmist is trying to help us to recognize in Psalm 100 is that we should respond to these reflections with perceptible, personal, and public praise of God. That's the reason for all the commands. When you think about who God is and what God does, the recognition of the reality of who he is and what he does should lead us to perceptible, personal, and public praise of God. What I'd like to do this evening is we consider this psalm of praise in a year-end challenge. We're closing out an old year and getting ready to start a new year. It is bring to you several applications for your life from this psalm. Number one is this. Reflect on the old year and the new year in light of the truths about God's nature and works. So the psalmist tells us, if I can take the seven commands and just put them concisely, the psalmist commands us to praise God because of who he is and what he does. Reflect on the old year and the new year in light of these truths about God's nature and works. Let me put it to you in a series of questions. Has God failed you in the past year? Perhaps he did not act in the time or the way that you expected him to. Does that mean he failed you? Some things happened in the past year that were difficult experiences. Does this diminish who God is and what he has done, is doing, and will do for you? Didn't he tell you that you were going to have some difficult experiences? God told us that, didn't he? Didn't he promise strength to help you endure? Can you honestly accuse God of not living up to his commitments to you? Has he ever failed to keep one of the commitments he's made to you? Can you hold anything against God for failing you based on the promises he has given you in his word? Has he not been good? Has he not been merciful? Has he not been faithful? Can you say that you deserve more or have earned more from God than what he has given you or done? As you think back on the past year, 2021, that we are coming to the end of living through, can you this evening say in any way that God has failed you? Can you in any way say that he has not fulfilled a commitment to you? Can you in any way say that he's not been faithful? That he's not been good? As you reflect on the year that is ending and look forward to the new year, be sure to reflect and calculate on the old year and the new year with God. Perhaps there have been some challenges. Perhaps there have been some difficulties. Perhaps you've had some experiences in 2021 that you'd rather move on from and forget. But as you look forward into 2022, all maybe you see before you are more challenges and difficulties and experiences that you'd rather not go through. Do not fail to calculate what has gone on this year, or fail to calculate what will take place in 2022 without God. Let's take a challenge to refocus our thoughts. That leads me to the second application. Number two, begin and end each day by offering praise to the Lord. How would you qualify 2021? Would you say it's been a bad year? An okay year? A good year? The best year ever? How would you qualify 2021 for yourself? How about today? Would you say today's been a bad day? An okay day? Good day? The best day ever? Can I ask you this? What will make tomorrow either bad or good? What will make 2022 either bad or good? We have heard it said in preaching and teaching that peace, joy, and the like are not dependent upon circumstances. Isn't that true? But let me ask you this. Do we not often qualify days and years by circumstances? You come home from work and you see your spouse. How was today? Oh, it was a terrible day. Why was it a terrible day? And you list off the four or five experiences, circumstances, interactions that made it a terrible day. Oh, it was a great day. What made it a great day? And you list off the bonus that you got at work, the promotion, the raise, the pat on the back, the circumstances and experiences. We often qualify days and years as bad or good depending on circumstances, though we hear and we would even agree with the reality that peace, joy, and such are not dependent upon circumstances. Why should our days and years be qualified as bad or good based on what happens to transpire? Refocus our thoughts. D.B. Estep was the godly pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church of Covington, Kentucky. He pastored that church from 1927 until his death in 1962. So he pastored during some very interesting years, even as far as our country is concerned, through the difficult years of the Great Depression and the Second World War. He led and fed the people by teaching the Bible. He was known for his emphasis on the second coming of Christ. His ministry of the word brought hope and peace to many during distressing times. And it was during that time frame that he published a little magazine called The Uplook, which had a wide circulation. And he was known for that statement that you've probably heard before that simply goes like this: when the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. Yes, we've had difficult experiences in 2021. We will have difficult experiences in 2022. I am not denying that I have bad days, good days, and in-between days, and that I, too, often qualify days as bad, good, or in-between, dependent on what I experience and what goes on. But listen to me carefully. Our outlook. And what is outlook? Outlook is simply how I view life and my experience of life. My outlook is affected by my focus. Think about it. Your outlook varies based on what you're focused on. If you're focused on the bad experiences, the hurtful words, the broken trust, the flat tire, the leaky roof, the pressing bills, then your outlook will be negative. If you're focused on those challenges, those difficulties, those circumstances, then your outlook will be negative. But if your focus is on the good, then your outlook will be positive. So change your focus. That's the thought behind that statement: when the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. If your outlook, your view of life, and your experience of life is bleak, is dark, is painful, is distressing, try the uplook. Change your focus. Change what you're looking at. If you find yourself with a negative outlook, turn your focus from where it is to higher things, to heavenly things. Because we have new life in Christ, Paul exhorted in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above. Set your affection on, in that verse, literally means to ponder, to set one's mind on. And so Paul literally tells us to ponder, to put your focus on, to set your mind on what's above. Heavenly things, eternal things. Setting your affection on things above will certainly transform your outlook. If your focus is above, if your focus is in eternity, if your focus is on heavenly things, your outlook, your view and experience of this life will be transformed. In Philippians 4, familiar verses. Paul said this in verses 6 through 8, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now listen to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, read the rest of the verse with me, would you? Think on these things. Yes, your focus affects your outlook. What you choose to think on and what you allow to rule your thoughts affects how you view life and your experience of life. If you allow negative thoughts, if you allow untruth to rule in your mind, then your entire outlook on life is going to be negative. God calls us to something higher. Change your focus. Beginning and ending every day by giving praise to God is a great way to do it. This isn't about your personal worship or devotion. That's not what I'm dealing with. I do believe you ought to personally worship God and spend time in His Word every day. But that's not the thought. The thought literally is simply start and end your day by praising God. From the moment you open your eyes, even before you sit up in bed, give thanks to God. When you lay down your head on your pillow at night, give praise to God. You say, why? Seven reasons in Psalm 100. He's God. He made you. You didn't make yourself. You belong to Him. He's your shepherd. He is good. He is merciful. He is faithful. Give thanks to God at the beginning and end of every day. Offer Him a simple prayer of thanksgiving. Praise Him. Number three, meditate on your relationship with the Lord. How much do you spend time reflecting on what it is and what it means to have a relationship with God? Think about who He is from Psalm 100. We find out in Psalm 100, He is the all-powerful, mighty God. He tells us in verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. Why would the psalmist say that? Well, he's using two different names, two different titles for God. The Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-existent, covenant-keeping God. The Lord, He is God, Elohim, the all-powerful, almighty one. You are a child of God if you know Christ. You are a child of the King. You are a son or a daughter of the all-powerful, almighty God of the universe. He is our Creator. He owns you by virtue of creation. But friends, that truth is not a... it's not a possession. It's not a slave master trying to drive us and push us into submission. That's not the idea of He is your Creator and you belong to Him. He is your Creator and He is a good, merciful, faithful God. How do you think God is going to care for His creation? He's not going to leave us to ourselves. He's not going to leave us to destruction. He's not going to leave us alone. He will be for us, with us. The psalmist emphasizes that further by saying, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is a shepherd, and can I remind you, He is the great shepherd. The one in John chapter 10 who watches over and protects the flock, Sheep know his voice because he is intimately fellowshipping with them, the one who lays down his life for the sheep and makes sure that no harm comes to him, to them, the one who places you in his hand, and his hand is wrapped up in the Father's hand, and nothing and no one can touch you. He is powerful enough, invested enough, concerned enough. And so the point of reflecting on your relationship with God, meditating on your relationship with God, is to remember this: when you cannot observe God's activity, you can be assured of his care. These truths: he's God, he's our creator, we didn't make ourselves, he's our shepherd, we're his people. He's good, he's merciful, he's truth endures, he's faithful. We can take a step back and go, but you don't know the experience that I'm going through right now. You don't know the hurt that I'm dealing with right now. You don't know the difficulty that I'm facing right now. And as I'm dealing with that experience and that hurt and that difficulty, I don't see God actively working in my life. But based on the truth of God's word, I don't need to see God's activity to be assured that he cares. So reflect, meditate on your relationship with the Lord. Number four, prioritize your participation in public worship and service. There's no denying the Psalms' recognition of public worship and service, nor the Bible's focus throughout. It comes out especially in verse number 4, where he talks about entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. This isn't just some generic place. When he speaks of the gates and the courts, the psalmist has in mind, in view, the temple. The place where the people gathered to worship the Lord. The place where they gathered to meet with the Lord. The place where they came together to worship and to serve God. All throughout the Bible, there is no hint of anything other than God's desire that his people, Old Testament, Old Covenant people, and New Testament, New Covenant people, gather together and participate in public worship and service. Yes, we are to minister in our world outside of these walls. Yes, we are to love, give, and reach out there. However, it is not a one or the other proposition. And that's what some would seek to make it today. No, it is a both and. We are to be outwardly focused in those ways, and we are also to gather together with others for worship, mutual edification, prayer, and service to Christ. Now, I know, you don't have to tell me, I am preaching to a midweek after Christmas group. But there is someone here, someone listening, who needs to be encouraged to evaluate their participation in public worship and service. Perhaps to be encouraged to continue with your priority. Perhaps to recommit to a greater priority, or perhaps to step it up in 2022. As you study the scriptures, it is clear that God's heart is that his people participate in public worship and service. Here's my challenge to you. As we transition from one year to the next, take these applications from Psalm 100 and reflect on them over the remaining days of 2021. Make a commitment to memorize Psalm 100 and allow God to use these thoughts to motivate you to a year of transformation and growth in 2022. Heavenly Father, As we bow before you this evening in consideration and reflection on the word that has been presented this evening, Lord, I pray that we would not settle for just coasting or complacency in our Christian lives. I believe that there is growth and maturity and development that you want to do in me. And I believe that that's true of everyone gathered here and everyone who may be gathered around some device screen to watch or to listen from some other place. Father, help us to take steps that will lead to growth and maturity. I pray as we have studied your word in Psalm 100, that you would help us to take these truths that are presented of who you are and what you do, that we would apply them to our lives, responding in lives of praise. I do ask that when our outlook is bleak, is dark, is discouraged, that you would help us to turn our focus to the things of you, to keep our focus in eternity and in heaven, where we are seated at the right hand with Christ. Father, I ask that you would accomplish your purpose and your plan in us. And we will be sure to praise and thank you for it in Jesus' precious name.